This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Hello and welcome in to Talking.Golf here on Wisconsin.Golf. Rob Hernandez alongside Gary D'Amato. We couldn't be any further away from one another than we are right now. Gary D'Amato in Orlando, Florida for the PGA Merchandise Show. And I, of course, in sunny California getting ready to go from the Amex Championship or the American Express with nothing after it. It was hard to get used to that all week. To the Farmers Insurance Open down at Torrey Pines. And Gary, how are things on the East Coast tonight?
Pretty good, Rob. Yeah, you're right. We probably, you know, unless we were in Maine, maybe in San Diego, we could get much farther apart. Things are good, Rob, except it's actually cold here. I mean, for the folks back in Wisconsin, they're not going to feel sorry for me or you, but it was about 60 degrees today and high of 57 tomorrow. That's cold for Orlando.
Well, I got to say, the desert last weekend was absolutely perfect. It was upper 60s, low 70s. Walked most of the weekend with Bobby and Izzy Stricker following their dad at the American Express. And even Nikki asked Steve's wife and caddy, you know, is it like this every day? And Bobby asked, does it ever rain here? Or do you ever see clouds? And I said, oh, yeah. I mean, the only time we ever see clouds, Gary, and I think you know how this goes. Mark Scheibach was going to have me come up and play his course over at the quarry one time just after he had gotten the job, and was on my way driving up, and all of a sudden it rained. And of course, you know, the bad thing about rain out here is there's no place for it to go. So courses can't stay open and they then have to close, and then you can't play golf, and that's unfortunate, but that didn't happen last weekend, and it was picture perfect weather. But you are right, Gary. We don't want to talk too much about that because yeah, our audience could turn ugly on us.
Plus, Rob, they're hung over from the Packers game. So,
oh, geez, yeah, well, yeah, we don't even want to go there.
Right.
Well, it was an interesting week up in Palm Springs for me, and with the Phil Mickelson news conference. And let's start there before we get to how the Wisconsin guys did actually in the tournament. I had been curious after seeing Phil's comments about his decision to play in Saudi Arabia over the Waste Management Open in Phoenix, one of his favorite stops, and him making the comment that he may never play there again because he's turning 50 in June. And that led me to believe that, you know, is Phil Mickelson really telling the world that he is going to stop playing on the regular tour and play on the senior tour? With as much work as he's put into making his body look like it does right now, I don't think so. And that's exactly what he said. He does not have any plans to play any Champions Tour events once he turns 50 June 16th. And it wasn't a surprise to me. Gary, was it a surprise to you that he would really rule, you know, all of that out right off the top?
No, not at all. You know, he's pretty close to a lot of the younger guys on tour. Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas. He's close to those guys, and he wants, you know, Phil likes nothing better, Rob, as you know, than to hang with those guys and to outdrive them from time to time, and he gets a big kick out of that stuff. I just don't see him going and competing against, no offense to those guys on the Champions Tour, you know, Lauren Roberts and Duffy Waldorf and Tim Petrovic and those guys. I don't see him having any desire to go and compete against those guys because he, you know, he still fancies himself as one of the longer hitters on tour, and he still is. And he feels he can still compete out there. So, no, I wasn't surprised.
Well, and as you remember, Gary, he lost 15 pounds on some weird diet before the Open Championship last summer. And he's taken that, you know, a step further. I mean, he is – I mean, I never thought I'd use the words Phil Mickelson and buff in the same sentence. But, I mean, the guy looks, you know, beyond better than he ever has in his career. But, Gary, and the problem that I see in what he's saying, he is so asphyxiated on driving the ball, hitting bombs, this hitting bombs thing. And you know, I mean, we all know Phil has never been, you know, the most accurate driver at times. And at times that's gotten him in big trouble.
Yeah,
I really don't know if this is the point in his career, Gary, where he wants to start making driving distance the most important category on his resume.
And, you know, Rob, you know, he's always been that way. I mean, going back 15, 20, 25 years, I remember all he talked, you know, one of his major talking points was how far he hit it and how he was trying to hit it farther and how he still wants to be able to drive it with the kids. And, and he's still saying the same things. And he still does hit it a lot. He hits it out there. But as you know, Rob, and as you've said, it's not always straight. But, you know, he still has the game. Phil obviously has a little bit of an ego. Nothing wrong with that. And he still wants to play with the kids, and he wants to hang with them. And more power to him. But, you know, it would be nice to see him on the Champions Tour from time to time.
It sure would. And that kind of led to a little bit of a Twitter war tonight between some guys who have passed 50. Some are playing, some aren't. It stemmed from something that Jeff Shackelford posted on jeffshackelford.com about a story that was written kind of that suggested that maybe the PGA Tour Champions isn't fulfilling the mission it was when it was first created, to sort of showcase the Jack Nicklauses and Gary Players and Lee Trevinos and Arnold Palmers of the world. And that kind of touched off some angst among people, especially Bob Estes, who's, you know, kind of on that fringe. You know, I think there's only 43 exempt spots each year on the Champions Tour. And if you're not, a huge money winner on the regular tour during your career, you're probably going to be doing a lot of Monday qualifiers. And that was an interesting exchange. And you saw something that kind of put it all in perspective from someone overseas, right?
Yeah, Eamon Lynch, a columnist whose work appears in various places, Morning Read and other places, The Line. And this is Mr. Lynch's line, not mine, but he said those guys on the Champions Tour couldn't draw a crowd if they played in thongs among the widows at the Villages. So,
wow.
That's pretty harsh. That's obviously an exaggeration. I don't believe that for a second. I mean, do they lack some star power on the Champions Tour right now? Yeah, they do a little bit. You know, they sure could use Phil, and they sure could use, you know, Ernie Els is going to help that tour. And Furyk when he turns 50 here.
Yep.
But you know, they could use those guys because there are not that many superstars playing that tour regularly right now.
No, they're not. And but you mentioned two: Ernie Els, Jim Furyk, Mike Weir turns 50 this year. KJ Choi turns 50. You know, there's others coming, but you know, again, we're never going to see Jack and Arnie and Gary Player,
no,
and Lee Trevino in a foursome, you know, again on that tour. And I don't think there's four guys that command that kind of, you know, reverence on the regular tour. Even now, you know, you could throw three guys in a pairing with Tiger Woods, and yeah, you'd get a huge gallery. But you know, we're a long ways away from that happening. And I don't know. Eamon Lynch, don't know him. Obviously, he's never been to Madison, never been to the AmFam Championship. Still right. More people, Gary, at the AmFam Championship than I saw last weekend at the American Express, outside of maybe Friday and Saturday when they had a concert on the driving range afterward, which really, you know, was a brilliant move on that tournament's part, as they try to kind of bring back the mystique of that tournament that Bob Hope, brought it when he had presidents playing in the tournament and, you know, Hollywood stars. Hopefully we see a return to that. A couple other final thoughts from last weekend, Gary. The concerts were great. Stevie,
yeah.
I was writing, I stayed and wrote one of my stories while I was listening to her, a few hundred feet away with, 15,000 other people. However, it took 2 hours to get out of the parking lot. And because of that, I did not stay for Luke Bryan. And so Luke Bryan drew a sold out gallery of 22,000. And I believe there are still some cars trying to leave the parking lot from that concert. That was interesting.
I think Luke asked where you were, Rob. I heard he was wondering why you left.
Well, you know, I think I'm surprised I was the only one not wearing a cowboy hat that day. So it was an interesting crowd, to say the least. Other stars and celebrities that we saw, Gary, over the weekend, the biggest one was Bo Ryan on the 10th tee, the final round. And
cool.
Everybody was happy to see Bo and Kelly Ryan. And they live right on the ninth hole of the stadium course. And, you know, he wasn't sure. He texted Steve the night before, said, I'll wave. I'll be wearing a red hat, of course, with the Motion W on it. And so it was nice to see Bo. And he's Gary, I tell you what, you think you and I have you went to Hawaii. This guy is year round golf now. And he kind of joked that he's been discovered. I'm sure he helped that along. And he and his 19 handicap at PGA West are available for scrambles anywhere and everywhere. He was trying to work Bobby Stricker for a gig after she's done playing college golf. Thinks that maybe they could make some money, in some of these events. But Bo was Bo. It was great to see him again. And he and Kelly are expecting their 8th grandchild. So they moved from a house on the Nicklaus tournament course over to one at the stadium course because it's got a bigger pool. More grandkids, Gary, bigger pool. That's word to the wise from Coach Ryan.
Bo looks like he's living life large. And speaking of large, it looks like he's put on a few pounds, Rob.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
It might have been the camera angle.
Yeah.
I'm going with that. I don't want to get on Bo's bad side. And I want you and me to have a chance to play PGA West together sometime with Bo.
That would be a good story.
That would be fun.
Blast. Yeah.
And then let me see, anything else from the American Express? I don't think so. Well, a lot of Wisconsin guys caddying in the tournament. John Turcotte, his guy Sepp Straka finishes 4th, and that's one of Sepp's best finishes. And had a chance down the stretch, but when those leaders got to 25 under roughly. Sepp just didn't have enough holes to match that, but he finishes T4, so that's a good finish. And then I saw Steve Dalby, a guy from Menominee, and so he was caddying for Troy Merritt, a guy who he's taught for many years. And once again, Troy made the cut for Sunday, didn't play well on Sunday, but Steve Dalby making a nice life for himself, Gary, at Phoenix Country Club as a teaching professional.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, you had a good week, Robin. Did a nice piece on Mark Wilson, too, and his foray into PGA Tour radio. So
Yes. That's thank you for bringing that up, because Mark, and Mark now inside the ropes is so much more relaxed. I mean, I think he's come to the realization, you wrote about it, when you talked about his kind of semi-retirement. He'll play in whatever events he can get into, just to kind of keep that perspective. And he looked good on Thursday over at La Quinta Country Club. He really putted well, Gary, all weekend, made a lot of nice putts to save pars and avoid, further disaster a couple times when he missed greens. But, and he's still got some game, but he really likes what he's doing with the media side of things on PGA Tour Live, the streaming service on Amazon Plus and NBC Sports app. And I joked, I finally posted the video. I'm not sure if it's on our video section on Wisconsin.golf, but I introduced him as hashtag market down Mark Wilson. And then he finished it with hashtag market down. And he's got the whole thing. For a 45-year-old guy, he's pretty good with the social media.
He is. And he's good at what he does. I mean, he has good insight, really intelligent guy. Math major, those math majors, they're pretty smart, Rob.
Pretty smart.
Yeah, I didn't major in math. I know that.
That's right. And I'll close with this one. I gave him on Sunday, a couple weeks ago when with the passing of Pete Dye. I knew I had some pictures of Pete from one of my early rounds at Whistling Straits when it seemed like he was at every tee box, kind of trying to see how the people liked the course. And while I was looking for those pictures, I found a picture of Mark Wilson being interviewed at Cherokee Country Club after his Wisconsin State amateur win.
Wow.
Surrounded by myself, our good friend Dan Manoyan, Rob Schultz, formerly of the Cap Times, Wisconsin State Journal, John Hughes, our boss.
Wow.
And then off to the left, whoever sent me the photo had indicated that Mark's grandparents, who are no longer with us, were off to the left. So I've stumbled across that, and of course then you'll see Mark. So I gave that to Mark, and he's in a good place. He's such a good guy, and I think he's going to do quite well on PGA Tour Radio. If you've listened to PGA Tour Radio, right, Gary?
I have, yes. Yeah,
I think it's great. I mean, when I had Sirius Satellite Radio in the car, it was always on, and it's kind of the throwback to yesteryear of just descriptive radio. And where you're sitting there going, that ball's rolling, it's rolling, it's rolling, it's in the hole, and now Mark's not going to be doing that. He's going to be in a studio in D.C. with Earl Forsey, trying to provide some insight as to, why this guy has birdied 5 in a row. He's one of the best putters on tour, yada, yada. And Mark is really into this stuff, and I think he's going to do a really good job. I'm hoping I can at least try to pull some of that in next week.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think Mark's going to do He's going to do great in that. He's a smart guy. He's well spoken. You know, a 5-time winner, so he knows he's faced everything out there. So he'll be able to get inside the minds of those guys, and he'll be really good at that job.
So we've got last week in the books, Gary. You and I are in various places for different reasons this week. I want to start with you before we get to the Farmers Insurance Open.
Sure.
You are at the, in my estimation, the toy store of all events for golf writers. It is the PGA Tour, the PGA of America merchandise show in Orlando. You were there last year. The Finn Scooter story still getting hits on our website. What do you got up your sleeve for us this year, my friend?
I actually rode one of those Finn scooters again today. They demoed them. I got to play Lake Nona, and there were a lot of it was a media event, and there were some of the exhibitors were there with their stuff. But yeah, tomorrow, Rob, I'm excited about tomorrow, demo day. It's at Orange County National Range, the biggest range in the United States, 42-acre range. It's a circular range, Rob, and it takes over a half hour to walk around the circumference of the range, and that's where all the equipment manufacturers are set up with their latest and greatest, their new stuff. They're debuting their new lines, their new irons, hybrids, drivers. So I'll be doing that tomorrow, walking around that entire range, scoping out everything, and then the show actually starts on Wednesday at the Orange County Convention Center, and that is just, you know, massive, massive in scale. It's hard to describe. It's one of those things, you have to see it. It takes 2 full days to see everything there, and that's walking, you know, that's walking up and down every aisle and stopping for a few minutes at every booth. But there's a lot to see, and there's going to be a lot to write about. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, here's a challenge for you. I want you to at least have your phone with you at all times so we can count steps.
Oh yeah.
I want a daily step report next week's podcast. And I did 21,000 steps on Sunday, nice. On Saturday at the stadium course. I tell you what, Gary, this American Express was the best tournament for me after the food intake from the Christmas holiday season. I needed 3 days up at La Quinta there. But I want to know how many steps it takes. Now, I also, if I'm not mistaken, the golf industry show, the thing that I was at last year out here in San Diego, is piggybacking off of your show somehow, some way. So if you run into our guys, it seems like there's everybody who markets signage on the golf course is from Wisconsin. There's like 4 companies. And so if you run into them, say hi. I couldn't believe it was going to go to Orlando with the merchandise show, because they're going to kill some golfers, because I don't think you can possibly go to one show and not be out of breath. And now they're going to put 2 shows back to back or something. So be careful. Make sure you drink lots of fluids.
I'll hydrate, Rob. I'll hydrate.
Hydrate. All right. And I will do the same down here. Now, tomorrow we've got I will go to Torrey. We've got friends in town. So we're going to make it a long day in San Diego. I was out gallivanting today in L.A., went to Santa Monica Pier, went down and checked out the new football stadium in Inglewood. And I'm not sure it's going to be ready for next season, but it's got to be, because I think the Chargers are tired of playing in a Cracker Jack box. But but tomorrow, San Diego, we've got at 10 o'clock, Jordan Spieth. Do you want me to ask him if he's got hotel reservations in Kohler yet in September?
Yeah, well, we know he wants to make that team, and we know, you know, that's one thing we didn't mention with Phil. Just to backtrack for 1 second, Rob, one of his big incentives for playing well this year is making that Ryder Cup team again. He's made 12 straight, so you know, Jordan's got a long way to go to make. I think he just wants to sort of find his game a little bit here before we start talking Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I'll backtrack one more. Do you see who else wants to make that Ryder Cup team?
No, who?
Steve Stricker's amateur partner on Saturday, Brett Hull.
Yeah,
hockey legend. He was. Yeah. I tell you, that start to that thing was amazing. It was, first of all, Steve Stricker and Brett Hull talked more sports on the first hole at the stadium course that was relevant than most sports talk shows, maybe even our podcast, Gary. I hate to throw us under the bus, but that was great. And then so Stricker birdies the first hole. I figure, okay, that's a good, you know, he's in a good place with, you know, Brett Hull keeping him relaxed. Brett Hull natural birdies on 2 and 3, and Stricker scrambles to make pars, and I'm going, oh, this isn't going to be good. And but boy, Brett Hull can really play. And I said I'd like to see Brett and Brett at the AmFam Celebrity Foursome, and I might take them against Andy and boy, who would we get with Andy? I mean, that would be a good matchup. I mean, I think Andy North and Dr. X, you know, the mystery man would have their hands full with Brett and Brett, because those guys are just so dang competitive. But anyway, we digress. So we have Jordan Spieth tomorrow in the media room at Torrey Pines, followed by, yes, Tiger Woods at 11 o'clock, and then Justin Rose. Tiger Woods beginning his 2020 season, Gary, and can it possibly be as good as 2019?
You know, I think it can be. I mean, he played great toward the end of the year. I think he can have another good year. And as a matter of fact, Rob, I'm in one of those golf pools where you have to pick a different winner every week, and you can only use every guy once, you know.
Yep.
And I picked Tiger to win this week. So, you know, this week I'm a Tiger Woods fan.
Well, I won't mention that to him. I don't want to put any pressure on him.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. The rough's up at Torrey Pines. I got to play it a couple weeks ago. First time I played it in almost 30 years, and man, it was, and it wasn't even where they wanted to be. So, I out here on one of the San Diego TV stations, the weather guy did something about a couple holes on the North Course. They're calling it the undertow, I believe, and it's I don't know, 4, 5, and 6 on the North Course. Apparently, ranked among the hardest holes on tour. Which, again, if you know the history of the Farmers, it's the North Course. Once upon a time, was like playing, you know, pitch and putt golf, and you made your hay there, and then tried to hang on tight on the South Course, where they'll have the U.S. Open next year. Well, when Tom Weisskopf came in and redesigned it a few years ago, it now is in the top 100 of courses you can play on Golf Digest list, and it looks phenomenal. And he showed some clips of golf balls in the rough on those three holes that he was talking about, and it's every bit as deep as the South Course. So I can't wait to see what the, you know, what the scoring looks like, and how guys like Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods, and of course defending champion Justin Rose, how they handle it. But this is a great tournament. I was gonna, you know, start with this. We'll end with this, Gary. You were in Hawaii a few weeks ago, watching guys really shake off the rust. I was, you know, Steve Stricker, Mark Wilson, you know, follow them a lot. But you know, even Ricky Fowler, you know, he got it going for a while over the weekend. Phil Mickelson, clearly, you know, in his first tournament, you know, rust was a factor. These tournaments aren't easy, but now you go to Torrey Pines, and this is a major championship course next year, and it's looking more like it this year. I mean, this early part of the season is not as easy as people, you know, might think it could be, you know, the old riding the bike thing. What did you see in Hawaii, and are you surprised at some of these guys, at how long it takes them just to kind of get in that routine?
Yes and no, Rob. Yeah, you know, they're coming off the holidays. They're coming off, you know, there's not huge break now on the PGA Tour anymore. There's a shoulder season, but a lot of the big names don't play in many of those fall events. So some of those guys are coming off big breaks. You know, they've been on vacation, they've been traveling with their families, and they've had the holidays, and now they come back. And, you know, Graham McDowell, just, you know, I played with him in the Pro-Am, and he hadn't played much, and he was sort of working his way back into golf shape, even in the Pro-Am and going into the Century Tournament of Champions. A lot of these guys have tinkered with their equipment, you know, over the last couple months. You know, a couple guys I know have changed swing coaches, so they're starting fresh, and they're definitely some rust to knock off. So I'm not really surprised that some guys haven't played their best golf yet. But you know, it's a long season, long way to go.
Well, in a great field this week at Torrey Pines. We talked about Tiger Woods. We talked about did I talk about Rory McIlroy being in the field?
McIlroy's in the field. Him. No.
And so, you know, you've got John Rahm in the field. You know, this is really, you know, one of those tournaments that just keeps getting better and better. And then to have Steve Stricker hanging around another week, the elbow, we didn't talk about that. Did you see that he hurt the elbow, sawing tree branches to clear, you know, line of fires, sight lines for his deer stand? Was that a surprise to you, Gary D'Amato?
It was a surprise, and I saw one guy tweeted, "Why is Steve Stricker cutting down tree branches?" Well, because he loves being out in the woods and he loves that stuff. That's why he did it.
What happened? I mean, yeah, you and I'm not, you know, and I the next time I go hunting, it will be the first time. So I'm not quite sure on the X's and O's of keeping that the sight lines clear. But you know, tree branches grow, Gary, and as they grow, they grow from one season to the next. And you know, if you've got this 14 point buck walking in your path, you don't want a tree branch keeping that bullet from getting the rack, as they say. But so that was so. But he said the elbow got better as it went along last weekend. Stricker in the field, looking forward to him. We got McElroy, your favorite pronunciation name, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau, Hideki Matsuyama, Patrick Reed. We've got, let's see here, Justin Rose, Patrick Reed, Gary Woodland, U.S. Open champ, Francesco Molinari, Ricky Fowler, Phil Mickelson. He's going to come, he's going to stay in play, and we'll see if he can capture the magic at the Farmers. Boy, you know, there's nothing like a Phil gallery at Torrey Pines. It's going to be fun. And now I think that the season really gets going. And then next week, an event that I think I want to go to, Gary, with you sometime, the Waste Management Open. And I want you and me to sit on 16 and just, take in all the cat calls and the hooting and the hollering. But I think the season really kind of gets going now.
Yeah, the Phoenix Open is on my bucket list. I played the course once, Rob, without the grandstands up, and came to 16, and I said, "This is 16. This is that hole. It didn't look like
any." What a letdown!
Yeah, I was hoping I'd have 20,000 people booing my shot, but that's definitely on my bucket list. I definitely want to get to cover the Phoenix Open someday.
Well, I think between your golf show, the Farmers, we're going to have a lot of stuff on Wisconsin.golf throughout the rest of the week. We posted a story today, got to meet last month with the three Wisconsin natives who are helping run the Farmers Insurance Open, all with great histories on various courses in Wisconsin. I was able to get Monona Golf Course, Yahara Hills, Maple Crest in Kenosha, and Brown Deer Park, all in the same story with these people that are... two of them are members of the Century Club, which runs the Farmers Insurance Open, and another one is the senior VP in terms of in charge of operations, and had cut his teeth at the old GMO, and so it's neat to see Badger people. And I had somebody mention to me last week they read your story from Hawaii on the guy from Menominee Falls, who's the superintendent out there. We're everywhere, Gary, and you and I can say this week we are everywhere. You're on one coast, I'm on the other. It doesn't get any better than this.
No, it's going to be a fun week, Rob, and what a perfect way to launch into the golf season for us. With I think almost every week from here on out for the next several months is going to be like this, Rob. So let's get used to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, you're it's much later where you are than I. You get to sleep, enjoy the show, drink lots of fluids. We'll do this again next week.
All right, I'll let you know how many steps I walk, Rob.
I'm looking forward to that, and I will keep a tally too. Torrey's not as bad a walking course as Stadium course was, because you got to go through all those houses out there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of back and forth at Torrey, so we'll compare notes. Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking Dot Golf. Thanks for listening.